Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories.
BrewDrinkRun.com.
All right, welcome to episode 200 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. What's up, Service Brewing Company? How are you doing today?
Hello, everybody.
Hey, I'll take that. It's weird. We normally do this in like a little closet, so this is a lot of fun. My name is Lee.
This is Keith.
I'm Raymond.
We are recording this episode at Service Brewing Company in Savannah, Georgia. We want to thank Kevin, Meredith, the whole team here at Service for making us feel so welcome. If you are new to the show, you can subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or listen to the show on Spotify. If you like Brew Drink Run, be sure to rate it and write a review, because ratings and reviews are how people find out about the show. Post about it on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. If you do any of that, be sure to tag us at Brew Drink Run. This is one of our big shows. Our big shows are where we drink a couple of beers and also talk about running and home brewing. But the most important thing is beer. Keith, what are we drinking today?
All right. Today we are starting out with, a beer from Service Brewing. We're going to do a couple of beers from right here at Service. The first one is going to be our IPA, which is a, our R&D small batch version of one of our beers. It is brewed with Aussie Yopon Holly Tea, as well as being dry hopped with Mosaic hops. So we've had this one on for a little while, and if you're in here in the tap room, go ahead and give this one a try.
Yeah. And if Keith sounds a little extra nervous today, it's because his boss is sitting right next to him. What's up,
so
Kevin?
So, guys, this is where I work.
Hi.
Hi, Kevin, the CEO of Service Brewing.
Staring directly at him.
I can feel that.
Joining us here today. Before we get into tasting it, we like to talk a little bit about the way this beer looks. Now, this beer has not been commercially packaged, so if you want to try it, you've got to come into Service. Or does this go out to kegs around town, or is it just tap room?
With our new three-barrel batch system, we're brewing 6 to 10 barrels of these R&D beers that we feel are ready for longer-term production. So we send a Sixtel, which is 5 gallons of beer, out here and there to special accounts or special events, but it is not regularly available anywhere outside of the tasting room.
All right, so if you want to give this a chance for yourself, you got to come by out to Service Brewing and do so. Raymond, now that we've got it out in the glass, how would you describe this beer to somebody?
Well, it has some of those tea notes, that kind of reddy brown look, but there's a lot of orange in here, so I kind of liken it to maybe apple juice. It's got that kind of look to it when you hold it up to the light.
Yeah, pretty clear as well. I mean, not a lot of cloudiness. It's pretty easy to see through, catches the light really well. Even though this has been poured for a little bit, still has a good remnants of a head on it, has nice lacing in a glass. Looks like it's going to have a nice little body to it. Aroma. Keith, what are you getting on the aroma of this beer?
For the most part, the Mosaic hops, which we dry hop with, are coming through, but the tea does kind of shine through just a little bit there in the background, so you got that kind of nice dry tea flavor or tea aroma going on as well.
And that dryness from the tea actually comes through in the flavor as well. It's really nice because you do have the hop presence, the hop bittering, the floral notes come through on the aroma to the flavor, but then also that dryness of the tea.
I think the tea has definitely been actually coming out in this beer a little bit as it's aged. It's not particularly old, but as you know, it's been on tap for maybe about a month or so, I'd say. So it's on its second month, and I actually think the tea is starting to emerge more now that it's been kind of melding together and mellowing out a little bit, and maybe some of those hops are starting to mellow.
So that's something I wouldn't have necessarily thought of, and I think that you're putting tea in an IPA. So, Kevin, tell us about the genesis of this beer. Where did the idea come from?
How long do you have?
We got an hour and a half. Go for
it. Okay, great. Meredith and I went to Ossaba Island for the pig roast first year that we were together, so 2011. And during that time, we were introduced to Yopon Holly. Ossaba translates to the land of Yopon. And so that's where we were introduced to the tea, and I was inspired to put it in a homebrew. So this was actually, it's much, much better now, but this was a beer that I made as a homebrew. I actually sent it up to the American Homebrewers Conference with the Savannah Homebrewers League back in 2012 or 13, but had to be 12. But So our friend, Lou Thoman, also started the Aussie Tea Company based on that trip. So spend a few minutes with Crawfish from the UGA Marine Extension, and you'll be inspired to do a lot of different things. So we started a tea company, and we created a great beer.
Now, Aussie, are they currently located where you kind of started out, or were they there for a little bit?
They were there for a while. Our small batch house while we were building out the brewery, Aussie Tea Company moved in there after we left, and now he's moved a little further out. He's off Chatham Parkway now. Okay. Got a bigger space for doing his wholesale batching.
And the Aussie Tea, for people that are interested in that, you can actually buy that commercially. It comes bottled with some different locations.
You can get it delivered to your home, Amazon.com.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it's also available here locally in stores. It's all in dry pack right now, but they're getting ready for a ready-to-drink version as well.
Yeah. All right. Wouldn't you guys brewed this? You said it went through a couple of different iterations from homebrew to being what we have now. And this is a beer that I've heard you champion other people to actually talk about, bring up when you talk about some of the creative things that you do at Service. So ultimately, what is it that you're most proud of when it comes to this beer in particular?
I think, like Keith said, it's 2 months old now at least, and it's still a great IPA. It hasn't faded away, or it's not a good beer without the hops anymore. I think the tea and the hops together have just found that balance, and it's we get an opportunity to drink it every week, and so we're seeing it grow, and it's an IPA that grows well, where mostly you want an IPA as fresh as possible, and then the ability to put tea in there where the tea complements the beer. It doesn't override the beer. It doesn't make it super bitter. It's really, Yaupon Holly is very close to a green tea. It's compared to Yerba Mate a lot. So it's got a really nice balance.
Nice. Longtime listeners of our podcast or people that have checked out our YouTube channel probably feel like they know Service pretty well, going back to the building a brewery segments we did years and years and years ago. It's been wonderful to see the progress that the brewery's made. Tell everybody a little about where Service is available now. Some about maybe list your different seasonals that people can look out for as well.
Yeah, so we're distributed throughout Georgia, South, and North Carolina. Obviously, the further you get away from the flagpole, the harder it is to find. But we're working to fix that. We just installed 220-barrel fermenters, so that more than doubles our capacity to ferment and grow into those markets. And then right now we've got our Old Guard Beer Guard is the seasonal we released on the 24th of February. We're also going to be doing brewer's release beers on a quarterly basis. So
the first was the Quad, that's out in the wild at this point.
The Quad is all out in the field, and folks are really enjoying it. It's available in 4-packs because it's a 9.3% beer.
Yeah,
we've got a lot of wine drinkers that really enjoy that beer. I've actually had Michelob Ultra drinkers that really enjoy that beer as well. So
target demo.
It gets all across. It's just a really, really well done beer that is tasty.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have too bitter, too hoppy, too light, too anything. It's just a really nice, warm beer, and you're not, you don't taste the 9.3%. And then also, springtime comes along. We're going to have the Gun Bunny Wit release in May. And at the end of May, we'll have our Savannah Banana. So we're working on this year's Savannah Banana beer, as well as a second beer to go along with that for the Savannah Bananas, which will be a lot of fun.
Cool. That's great. And also, when you guys first started here down on Indian Street, it was really just you. But now you've got a partner down the street. You've got a neighbor, I guess, more with Ghost Coast Distillery. So people who are making a trip that are coming into Savannah are wanting to check out Service in person. There's also a brand new distillery down the street. Are you guys going to have a chance to work together, or is that something you've talked about?
Yeah, absolutely. Sydney, bartender at the tap room for the distillery was here earlier, and we were talking about how we need to get together and work on different things. Any alcohol that they serve in that space has to be made there as well.
Right.
So they're working. They've got gin and vodka and whiskey and Fernet, and so there's a lot of barrel opportunities for us to collaborate. People are making gins with hop. People are making whiskeys aged on beer barrels, and so. Having them be 200 feet away is nice. They can just roll the barrel down the street. We can fill it up, and then we can roll it back.
Yeah. Well, Kevin actually has work he has to do today. I want to give a big thanks to Kevin for joining us here on the podcast, for letting us record our episode here, and for just being a big supporter of the podcast. Really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Yeah, congratulations. 200, it's a lot of work. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, so hopefully come back for three.
Yeah. All right, now that Kevin's gone, we're going to talk about this beer like he's not here.
Yeah, man, what a dog this thing is. No, just kidding.
No, I think for IPA drinkers, there is more variety than ever.
Absolutely.
From what you can go with the kind of East Coast, West Coast, the New England, the...
You got your hazies.
The sessions.
You got your, yes, exactly. So it is kind of hard to, you know, turn over a new leaf on this, not to be too punny. But I think there are some other tea IPAs out there as well, and I'm definitely happy with this one.
I feel like I'm leaving Raymond out. I keep not turning your way.
No, it's all good.
Is there anything that you wanted to add to this one, Raymond?
No. It's just, other than it's really tasty, I'm enjoying this thoroughly. I like a little, it's got a little bit of kind of that dryness, that bitterness that's going on, and I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah. Are you a tea drinker?
I am. Well, occasionally, yeah.
It wasn't a trick question. I was just really curious if you were a tea drinker.
Are you a tea drinker? No. Yes. Bye.
Well, Kevin alluded to the fact when he was here that, you know, this beer started as a homebrew for him. I think that we have all had our varying degrees of time spent in the world of homebrew. And I think on the 200th episode, it's really important to get an update on how Raymond's brewing setup is going. I think that people have been following this really closely. Raymond, how is your homebrew setup version 2.0 going?
You know, I'm happy to report that I think we're nearing completion. The final decking is going in right now.
And because the most important thing you need is a deck.
It is because I gotta be able to brew somewhere, and that's where it's gonna happen. And I think it's gonna be done by the time this episode is aired.
All right,
that's the goal.
Wow. Now, what about equipment? Do you have your equipment? Not ordered, but do you have, because you're buying some new stuff. You're buying some new kit to replace some stuff you lost. Do you have it picked out where you're going to buy?
Where I'm going to buy?
No, what you're going to buy.
Oh, what I'm going to buy, sure. I think I'm going to upgrade to an all-grade system this time, and probably not go really super fancy, but you know, stick with the kind of traditional igloos, but I all grain's the way it's going to go.
Igloos, you're going to have a tiered system. Are you going to build your tier, or are you going to order a stand for it?
You know me. I have to build it. It's got to happen that way.
Is that going
to
affect your
timeline? This project has got longer.
Yeah, I have a lot of concerns. And the first beer is still going to be that Founder's Breakfast Stout clone, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Because
you still have the ingredients for that.
I still have the ingredients to that.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, I'm not even going to update on mine because nothing has happened. I'm not even going to joke like it has. So when we're not brewing beer and we're not drinking great beer, we're running off the calories. We're excited to have a longtime contributor to Brew Drink Run. He's been on the podcast a couple of times before. He is our triathlon correspondent and also author of one of the most popular articles ever at brewdrinkrun.com about running socks. Alan Leonard, what's up, Alan? How's it going, man?
Hey, Alan.
Hey guys. I'm hoping I can get upgraded to senior triathlon correspondent.
Let's just do it now. Let's make it official right here today. Senior
Done.
Triathlon.
Congratulations.
Correspondent. Thank you.
You've worked hard.
And Alan's proving his running stripes, actually competing in a trail race this morning. Tell us about the race that you ran this morning.
This morning was It was a 10.7 mile Cochran Mill trail race in South Fulton County, Georgia. Good trail race. It was GPS measured, so while they advertise it as 10.7, when you get done, you don't feel like you'd ran 10.7. You feel like you ran 12 and a half, 13. So, and that's one of the issues you deal with trail running is, you know, depending on how they measured it, you know, you can go a little longer than you expected or a little shorter than you expected. Overall, though, weather was great. Great support there at the race, and good time.
Excellent.
What percentage races are you doing right now? Like, is the breakdown, you're a triathlon guy, you're a road race guy, you're a trail race guy. What kind of breakdown are you doing right now in your competition schedule?
Yeah, so really it depends on the season for me. It's hard to do a triathlon right now because that whole swimming thing when it's 35 degrees in the morning is not something that you're generally going to do.
And man then, up.
And getting wet on a bicycle at that point as well. So, really for me, tri-season starts usually either the beginning or the end of April. There's a couple of races that I do every year to kind of start the season. Then that runs through September or October, depending on what the season looks like. And then after that, I do pretty much exclusively running stuff during the winter because I can put on a lot more clothes and stay warm if I need to.
All right. Back to your run this morning. So what does your current trail running kit look like?
It really depends on the weather. I've got a pair of dedicated trail shoes. Anybody who wants to take up trail running, and I definitely encourage that, you definitely want to get a pair of dedicated trail shoes. It's very important to have those to make sure that you keep a stable footing on the ground. Some of those trails can get pretty gnarly. You get a lot of roots, you get a lot of rocks, the more technical it becomes. And then after that, it's just the normal running kit depending on the weather. Some races have varying levels of support out there on the course because it's hard to get a lot of water and resources in there. So you might need to carry bottles, to carry a lot of backpack, hydration packs on the back, a lot of hydration waist belts, that sort of thing, and sometimes nutrition. I've not gotten into the ultra races where you're carrying headlamps and that sort of thing, doing 50Ks and 50 miles and 100 miles, that sort of thing.
Is that on the list? Is that something you're looking to do at some point? I mean, it's hard to train for those. You've got a family, you have a job. Where do you find the time to do that? But is that something you eventually want to do?
It's an itch out there. I will say that. There's a couple of to-dos on the bucket list. Ironman triathlon's not something I've done quite yet. I've done two halves. So that's on the bucket list. Doing some longer races. I did my first full marathon last year. But doing an ultra would be something that's definitely on the bucket list. It's just a matter of finding the time and resources to be able to do so.
So the marathon didn't break you. I mean, I've got a lot of friends who did their, that was something that was on their list, and they're like, no, I'm good.
Well, the marathon I did was very specific. I did the Myrtle Beach Marathon. It's a fantastic race. It is flat as a pancake. It is straight it is a box course. There's no variation. You're running straight for a very long period of time. You make one turn, you run straight and flat for a very long period of time. I don't think I'll ever do another marathon like that again. Yeah. But for the first one, I was really trying to avoid hills and avoid that variation so I could really dial in my pacing, that sort of thing. But I think doing something longer on the trails would be something I'd be more interested in than necessarily going back on the roads. The pounding on the trails is just it's different. It feels better. I'm not nearly as beat up today after a trail run as I normally am after pounding the pavement for 10, 12, 13 miles.
Yeah. Are you the kind of guy who knows all their PRs? Can you just, recite what your regular paces are, even just so people can get you're spouting off some impressive stuff. So you are competitive, which not a lot of my friends who are out doing these runs are actually competitive, and you're actually competitive.
I'm pretty competitive in local races. One of my goals this year is actually to go to USA Triathlon Olympic Nationals, age group nationals. And I will absolutely get destroyed in that race because those are the best of the best. But in local races, I tend to do pretty well. I have a number of masters places, a number of age group places. 5K, I'm anywhere from about 1945 to about 2015.
Keith has just doubled it.
Sorry,
he's done.
Half marathon was
Keith
the last
literally
one.
Left.
The last one I did was 137. My PR is about 135 and a half.
Yeah.
And then the marathon I did last year was just over 330. 330 and seconds.
Pretty solid times. Thanks, Raven. Thanks for helping out. It's always nice to have a little support from that end of the table.
No, that's fantastic. I'm always impressed to watch your stuff on social media and you holding up the pictures of you with medals and stuff, because that's just so far beyond anything.
Well, the best part is him saving his BDR shirt for the medal pictures.
I will tell you that every triathlon I ever go to, I wear the BDR shirt to check in, to get ready. I do the race, and then before the medal ceremony, I always make sure I get the BDR shirt back on. And as long as the weather's not crazy, I'm running in that BDR shirt every chance I get. So.
See, I got to appreciate that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
You can get your own. Go to brewdrinkrun.com/store, shop. I don't even remember. Go to either one. They probably both work. And get one of our technical running shirts. You like the old shirts better than the new shirts.
I do. I do, too. I'm much more of a fan of the 100% polyester, the looser weave.
Yeah.
I like the more recent shirts, but more as a casual wear, not as an actual exercise wear.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the original shirt has more structure, like more seam work, and I actually still prefer it. Like, I would thought that maybe I wouldn't just because of how it's built out.
Interesting.
Keith has been kind enough to go ahead and grab some beers we're going to be trying here in just a minute. But before we let Alan go, do you have a couple of favorite races, you know, for people in Georgia, people in the Southeast who might enjoy traveling to a race? What are some of your favorite ones that you never miss competing in?
Every year for me, just purely running, the Peachtree Road Race in Atlanta is...
Which is kind of a mess.
That's, well, and you came up and did it with us one year.
Yeah.
But you know, it's 55 or 60,000 people running through downtown in a 10K on July 4th. Depending on the weather, it can be an absolutely brutal slog, or it can be very enjoyable.
And that's a lottery in race, correct? You've got to apply to get in. Yeah.
Well, you can cheat and join the Atlanta Track Club.
Right.
Because if you join the Atlanta Track Club, they'll guarantee your entry. You have to pay for it, of course, but they will guarantee your entry. Triathlon-wise, I really enjoyed the Augusta Half Ironman. I haven't been back to it yet. I do the West Point in Georgia. I do the West Point Olympic every year as kind of my kickoff race. And I got to throw some love out there for my local races, too. I live in Peachtree City, Georgia, and we, as long as the lake has water in it, we do an Olympic distance or intermediate distance race and a sprint distance race every year. And so I try to represent, that's the club I'm a member of, and I try to represent that club and, you know, make sure our club brings home some medals.
All right. Before we let you go, you've been sipping on the Brew Drink Run Service collaboration beer, which we're going to get into here in just a second. Thumbs up.
Definitely a thumbs up. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of a Russian Imperial Stout to begin with. I mean, that's right in my wheelhouse and my favorite kind of beer to drink. This one has a lot more going on with it. You can definitely taste the clove in it, and a couple other things as well. But yeah, definitely enjoyable beer.
Yeah. All right. We're going to send you home with a crowler. Thanks for joining us. Get out of here.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So for all those suckers out there who think we don't talk about running.
Yeah.
I think on episode 200, we turned it up a little bit. I mean, we didn't talk about running.
Well, no, we found somebody. We pulled someone out of the audience.
We found an expert to go do that for us. We do, on these big shows, we drink two beers. And so the first one was that great Aussie Tea IPA collaboration. It's on the board right here at Service. If you haven't tried it yet, be sure to make sure that gets in your glass where you go. What was the ABV on that one?
That's a good question. 6.5 or so, 6.2, something like that. Yeah.
Sounds about right. That's a good number. And for the second beer, we're, of course, going to drink our collaboration beer, the one that Raymond and I were lucky enough to come in and work with Brewer Austin on this, mm-hmm. and Keith was busy canning Compass Rose that day, probably.
Yeah, we were
the
canning, canning Compass Rose. I was supposed to brew with y'all, but unfortunately, I couldn't get out of work.
kept waving at you. We had lunch with you. We kept seeing you around, but we were on the other side. And we talked a little bit about our brew day on a previous episode, Raymond. But you know, a little bit more time and distance between that. Anything in particular stand out about that day for you that was?
Oh, just how much fun it was. I hated that Keith wasn't there, or was in the next room even. That makes it even more painful. But just how much fun it was to get back into brewing and doing that process and learning how it was done on a larger scale than I had ever thought I was going to work on. I was used to those small batches. And I know this is a small batch for Service, but this is a mega batch for me. So it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about scale, and so for people who homebrew and are on a smaller scale, I mean, we still use, you know, they're nicer and a little bit bigger than a lot of people have, but you know, they're basically homebrew systems for a lot of these test batches or the very first time we do something. So it's really not that different here in a production facility from what you do. It's just it eventually takes that step up.
I loved our Instagram post from that day. It was Raymond up with the huge paddle stirring, and we got a great comment that was like, oh, Raymond's homebrew system is bigger than I thought it would be. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to get in there and do that. Austin was great. Services a lot of this sort of thing with collaborations with local civic groups, local restaurants, different people to help bring into the place and do some different work there.
Yeah, we actually get a lot of people coming in through the door. Sometimes people just want to experience the brew day, people who are local bartenders, servers, chefs who want to be a part of it. We also, often when we do these collaborations with either local restaurants or a local group, sometimes they come in and help out, and sometimes they decide to just, you know, get us the specialty ingredients. They're a little too busy. Either way, we're happy to have some collaborative effort either on the recipe or on the actual brew day or both.
Yeah. And it was really nice for us because we did get the opportunity to kind of say what we wanted, and right. We brainstormed a little bit, put our heads together. Keith, you mentioned that Service hasn't done a lot in this style genre.
This is actually the first Russian Imperial Stout that we've ever brewed, at least for that particular style. We've done lots of Imperial Stouts and big boozy stouts, but this is the first Russian Imperial Stout that we did. And so as we were brainstorming, we were trying to think of a nice kind of flavor combination to come up with. And so we decided to go with clove and orange. It would be nice for these colder winter days, which are now spring by the time the beer came out, but that's okay. But you know, it's a nice combination. Basically, you guys put oranges into the mash, then clove into the boil, and then we dry hopped with orange zest. I think that's right. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So that was actually a lot of fun, and that was one of my favorite things. I mean, I enjoyed being in the lab.
Yeah,
I thought that was great. Like, you know, kind of. I say helping, but more like watching Austin do like cell counts of yeast and just kind of seeing how that, doing the oxygen tests in the can, I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But actually pureeing a whole bunch of oranges at one time is a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. If you've never just filled a Vitamix or whatever those high-end blenders are, with oranges and just turn it on. It's super fun.
Man, we almost killed that thing with the raisins for the quad.
The raisins, man, really?
We kept burning out the motor.
We had to do a lot of stop and start, but raisins, just because of the density, even though
they're
smaller.
Oh, it was terrible. We actually ended up going to a local high school, one that my wife works at, as a culinary program, and a bunch of the students helped us get through like the last like 4 pounds, 6 pounds or something like that, because we're never going to get them done. So there was the gracious folks at Woodville to help us out. So
big shout out to that high school for helping out the brewery. But that was their like most fun day.
Yeah. They were so confused. They're like, what are we doing? Are we making raisin toast? What are we making, raisin bread? What are we doing? Chef, what are we doing? He's like, just blend these.
These are a lot of raisins, chef. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a good time. It's always impressive to see a brewery work, you know, a production facility. For those of you guys who are here today, be sure to corner somebody, make them take you on a tour. They still do tours?
Yeah, when we have the time and we're not too busy, which right now we're not, because, you know, it's our podcast. So no, just kidding.
Thanks. That was good. That was perfect. Yeah. So we have poured the Brew Drink Run beer into glasses here. We have a little bit in front of us. I have been personally calling this beer Slow as Molasses because, you don't typically name the collaboration.
Right.
So I kind of felt like I would take it upon myself. As you mentioned, this
don't
has,
go to the bar and order a Slow as Molasses. It doesn't
exist.
Won't
know what you're talking about. But it does have molasses. It does have the full pureed orange, the orange zest, and the clove. And when we were brainstorming, the clove for me, you know, is coming up with the additional spicings. I feel like orange and chocolate, especially we were talking about this around Christmas time, makes a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
But clove, I mean, have you had a beer with a strong clove presence in it, Raymond?
Not a strong. I want to say, you try these so many things over the years, but I don't remember a particularly strong clove. No.
I feel like there's a handful of like winter warmers and that kind of thing out there that have clove in it, but there's got to be another stout out there.
Oh,
I
I'm sure.
Imagine.
Yeah, but as we were pitching ideas, we were talking about cinnamon or allspice, eventually we kind of came upon clove, and I feel like that is going to be potentially the differentiator here, especially when you start leaning into it. But before we get into the aroma, what does it look like in a glass, Raymond?
It looks like a stout, man.
Great.
Now, it's really dark, opaque. It is to style. It's nice and dark. It's got a little
dark
viscosity to it. It's got a nice little lacing to the head, but not overly. I don't know how it poured, but
right now it's still got some big chunky bubbles on it. It's been poured for a little bit.
Well, mine does.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought they poured really well. They had a nice, you know, finger tall head on top. It's good looking.
And it really smells great.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me on the aroma, the mixture of the clove and the orange really comes out really well.
I agree. It's just a really nice balance.
For me, there were a couple of different holidays where we did the ham, where you put the cloves in the ham and you boil it in like Coca-Cola.
So it smells like ham.
You do the whole thing.
You think it smells like ham.
It smells like ham, is what I'm totally saying. No, but it's definitely a real seasonal thing. And I feel like clove is something that you have either a distinct sense memory of or you don't. It's probably either really weird or it takes you to a specific place. And for me, it's that kind of seasonal thing. And then also that one girl in the college dorm who smoked clove cigarettes.
Yep. There was always one.
There was always, who had a pet rat and smoked clove cigarettes. What's up, Waleska, if you're out there listening?
Oh, this is a real person.
Shout out. Yeah, for real. The aroma on this, how would you describe it, Raymond?
The aroma, just like Keith did. It's a lot of orange, it's a lot of clove, but it blends in really nicely. My memory that's brought back is, I don't know if you guys know, this, a very southern thing, but there's an Osage orange. Did you guys ever deal with these? They're like these big kind of softball-shaped fruits that come from the Osage tree. It's kind of like a sweet gum. And we had them in our house every fall. And you would take these things and you would stick cloves in them. And then they would sit on your kitchen or like on the table, and they smelled like oranges and cloves.
Huh. Okay.
All right. I didn't know that.
Osage oranges and cloves.
All right. I do actually remember like grandparents doing that. Oranges with the cloves stuck in it. I don't know that it was a special
and the orange
thing
too. But this is a very very southern thing because I don't think these live outside of the Southeast.
Raymond's wife just came in to check on him because he's obviously making up a story about this orange tree.
This is where he is. He's not somewhere else.
He's here. He's really here. So I don't have an Osage orange tree.
No.
But I have had a sip of this. Have you guys already taken a little drink?
I have. What are your first impressions? Are you happy with your work? This is your beer.
I am. You know, I feel like while the clove definitely gave what I wanted on the aroma, it's interesting what the clove does on the taste. It's a real drying element.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of creates this space in between a sweetness and the citrus.
Yep.
So it's not like a through line. There's this really interesting kind of herbal quality not hops, okay. but it is what the clove is important.
I mean, I think the clove kind of comes on strong in the beginning of the taste, and then it fades out a bit, leading to, you know, more of that kind of dry, almost slightly chalky Russian Imperial Stout intensity, you know, that kind of really dry, chocolatey. There's a good bit of hops in this beer, which is traditional, is appropriate for a Russian Imperial Stout, so there's a nice little bitterness on the back end, kind of balances things out a little bit.
Raymond, what are your tastes? Oh, you can't taste it. It got taken away from you. Spousal privilege. What are your tasting notes on this? What are you getting on this first? Oh, we got a thumbs up from the spouse. Thanks, Ashley.
Well, the thing that strikes me about this is this. There's a lot of sweetness to it that I don't know that I was expecting. And I guess that's coming from a combination of the sweetness of the orange and the molasses. But when a couple of weeks ago, I guess it's been a month or so now, but I got to come and taste it before we kegged it, or Keith kegged it for us, and the clove was really strong at that point, and it's mellowed, and it's it blended very well with that orange, a lot better than it was at that point. But right now, the thing that kind of strikes me is the molasses is really kind of coming through, that burnt quality, and the sweetness is really, really nice in addition to these cloves and oranges.
Fantastic. I feel like as I go back to it too, I'm getting definitely more and more of the orange and a pithiness, you know, because it was kind of dry hopped with with the zest. So there is a little bit of extra bitterness to it in that very orange.
Yeah, I mean, you really don't usually get too much in the way. I think some of that bitterness is just coming from the hops, honestly. The dry hop really should add mostly just aroma to it, not really too much in the way of bitterness.
Something's going on. What's happening?
All right. What?
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Have a seat. Right. Have a seat.
Anyways, we apologize. We've been interrupted. I don't even know what I was saying. Remember when we were trying it, when we first got it kegged, there's still a little bit of yeast character going on in it. I'm really pleased that that's really faded out of it, and it's all kind of come out as we were before after we kegged it. But yeah, I think there is a little bit of bitterness going on.
Yeah. All right, we got a surprise guest. So one of our longtime listeners, first time callers, has joined us. What's up, Missy? How you doing?
Hi there, I'm well.
You had some tasting notes for the for our Russian Imperial Stout as well. What are you getting from this beer?
Can I move this towards me?
You can move it towards you, yes.
Okay, so I don't like stouts.
Yeah.
But I really like that.
So what do you like about it? What makes it
well,
different?
Well, it tastes like Christmas.
All right, yeah.
Like the clove, there's a hint of clove and an undertone of orange zest.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Totally.
Nice. I really like it.
You sound very, yes, like you had the same beer we had. We totally agree with you.
It's great. So Christmas all the way.
Excellent.
I think you need to bring it back around holiday time.
All right. Did you hear that? We'll remind Kevin that
we actually brewed it in December.
Yeah, we did.
It's been doing its thing for a little while. And
can I get
around.
A growler to go home?
We
can totally
not
get
sure.
A growler.
Maybe. We don't do growlers, but maybe some growlers. We'll see. There's only
a
very small amount of this.
I thought I saw growler on the board.
That would be this. It's with a C. Crowler.
Crowler. It's a canned.
Okay. It's a big
crowler.
Old can.
Can I buy a crowler?
Well, we'll see what we can do.
I'm not sure. Usually with these smaller batches that we only do like a half barrel of, we don't always do crowlers of them. But there might be special guest privileges.
We'll see if we know a guy.
Yay! Thank you.
Thanks, Missy. We appreciate it. Yeah. So that's interesting because I feel like it's very on style. And so for someone who's had the style before, I know Missy is a, she is a beer fan herself. Her husband, Alan, who we heard earlier, also has brings a lot of different styles in the house that she tries. She's very good about that. So that's great to hear that, it's, something she's tried before, but maybe likes this version of it.
Yeah, I would always love to hear when someone tries something they normally don't like and enjoy it, whether it's one of our beers or anyone else's, that they're going to branch out and try something new and always keep trying those things that you say you don't like, because you might find one that you really do. So
yeah, that's the thing, is that if you keep going back to it, as I keep telling my kid about her vegetables, eventually there will be a vegetable you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like this is a really nice addition to the board up there. There's some fun stuff up there. So on the board, if you were to come into service tonight, we mentioned you've got the Aussie IPA tea.
Uh-huh.
You've got the Brew Drink Run collab, the Russian Imperial Stout with orange and clove.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some of your year-rounders. So you've got Compass Rose, which is the standard bearer IPA.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Ground Pounder, the pale ale that's up there. You've got Battle Wagon, which is the double IPA that... has those super sharp cans now. It's only available in kegs, but no, it's in cans now, and it's super exciting to have in cans. Is that Rally Points up there as well, the Pilsner?
Mm-hmm.
And walk us through, can you read the seasonals from out here?
Have our winter seasonal, which is our Lincoln's Gift Oyster Stout, brewed with May River oysters and shells. We're also going to have our spring seasonal, which just came out a couple of weeks ago. It's the Old Guard Beer de Garde. So that is a French-style beer de garde brewed with Savannah Bee Company honey and fermented with our house yeast strain. Brewer's Release number 1 is our Belgian-style quad. We talked about that a little earlier in the podcast. And that is a quad brewed with figs, raisins, dates, and fennel seed. And let's see, I think we also have a couple other small batches, our Grisette, which is also fermented with our house yeast strain, a nice kind of 4% light, easy drinking beer, which has a lot of flavor to it, as well as I think our chocolate milk stout is still on pouring on nitro. Nope. Scott says no, it is not.
Boo, Scott.
Well, then you're going to just have to have a service soda instead. So that is a non-alcoholic soda that we make here, brewed with sarsaparilla and a whole bunch of other tasty ingredients.
Which I love. I always love when there's a designated driver choice or depending on the brewery, sometimes you can bring kids in. It's nice to have something that's also on the menu to appease folks who just don't need another beer. I don't know who they are personally, but it's nice that they're out there. We are very happy to have our buddy Matt LaPaglia, the Fresh Prince of Paoli, is back. What's up, Matt? How's it going?
Hey, Matt.
How's it going? For those of us who are like, we never talk enough about running, we had Alan on earlier talking about his 10 miler this morning, the trail run. And Matt, true to form, one up and everybody. Matt did a marathon this morning and had a sweet little PR from the way it looked, right?
Yeah, it was a nice PR, nice 3-minute PR at the Albany Marathon this morning.
Yeah, it was funny. I saw your time. It was just over 3 hours, but I was like, oh, you ran just over a marathon. Yeah. So all things even, you came in under 3 hours by a hair, but you came in under 3 hours, which is pretty amazing. Right. So if people haven't run the Albany Marathon, Albany, Georgia is where we're talking about. Albany, for those of you who listened to a couple of episodes ago, would know how to actually pronounce that. If you're looking for a race, is this an official Boston qualifying race?
Yes, it's a certified official Boston qualifier. It's a very popular Boston qualifier. It's a very quick course.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it. The first half, it's kind of industrial. You're running through kind of downtown. But once you get out past 11 and 12 miles, you start getting really nice neighborhoods, golf course, community. It's a really a beautiful course on the back half, and I definitely recommend it. It's for everyone in Savannah, it might be a little hilly. it's actually a very, very fast course nationally.
Yeah. And for you, did you go out the night before, spend the night, then run this morning, and then just rode back this afternoon? So it's a quick little overnight. You wouldn't want to do the drive before you ran. That might be a little much.
Right. Yeah. No, it's a nice, because it's an early race. It's a 7 o'clock start. So you really need to get out there, you know, just spend a night out there and enjoy some of the local restaurants. Unfortunately, not a whole lot of breweries.
However, well, there was the one we talked about a couple of episodes ago, and I don't know if they have regular tap room hours or not, but there's a new farm-to-table or farm-to-brewery kind of set up there in Albany
right.
That we heard some good things about. But I think with the beer laws changing, we're just going to see all these smaller towns seeing more and more of that kind of entrepreneurism and why is there not a brewery here? Let's put one here. Right. We can make it work now. So you felt really good about it. You've Boston qualified a couple of times now, right?
Yes.
So you've got a couple.
So I've been in kind of a 6 or 7 month marathon training.
Yep.
So I originally wanted to Boston qualify at Kiowa up in Charleston, which it went very well. However, I Boston qualified, but it probably wouldn't be accepted once they accept all the people underneath the qualifying time. So I rolled over marathon training into Albany. I dropped another 3 minutes off my time.
That's
so
crazy.
Last year, I believe you had to be 3.5 minutes underneath, and I'm 4.5 minutes. So I feel pretty confident that I'll get in this year.
Awesome.
That's great.
And how did Nicole do? Your wife ran this morning too. Yeah. She PR'd as well?
She PR'd also. So awesome. It was a great day for both of us. So
for Team LaPaglia had
That's
a good
right.
day. Well, we're talking, and I believe you have it in your glass, the Brew Drink Run collaboration Imperial Stout, right? What do you think? What are your notes on it?
So hearing the description, I kind of shy away from herbal beers. Mm-hmm. So the clove was a little intimidating. But really, the clove it's nice and up front, but it doesn't linger too long. Like the orange zest really takes the finish. So it's really nice. I really enjoyed it.
That's good feedback because I actually have started leaning toward herbal beers more and more. I mean, I don't feel like there are a lot on the market, so it's something that's always kind of fringe. Like, I'm not having a lot of them all the time because there aren't a lot out there. And so I'm excited when I have the prospect to try one, especially one that I haven't had before. But you've had experience, or just kind of your own personal palate doesn't lend yourself to that, but you feel like the clove here comes out all right.
Yeah, I think it does really well. If it had like a licorice flavor, that'd be a complete turnoff.
Yeah.
However, no, it's well balanced. And
I feel like
really
we're going up
it.
To the line with it. I feel like we're getting pretty close, but we're not turning the corner on the licorice.
There is that bitterness, but I think it's more from the orange zest and the malt. But
yes,
it's very good.
Now, you're local here in Savannah. I know you've been to Service many times. You've had a lot of their beers. Do you have a favorite Service beer, like whether it's one of the seasonals or something you've just had in the tap room or just one of the all-year-round releases?
Really, Battle Wagon originally like really kind of blew me away when I first had it. So I'd say that's number one. And also, I really enjoy the Quad.
Yeah.
Like I brought it out for my post-race beer today.
Yeah, nice.
But when I was finished, it wasn't what I wanted at that moment.
Oh, yeah, really? Weird. You didn't want a Quad after you ran for 3 hours? Weird.
No, I really enjoy the Quad. I think Yeah, definitely Battle Wagon's my number
Battle one. Wagon's one of mine, too. It's nice that the Beard to Guard's back in, because I'm a big fan of that as well. So,
which I believe is your wife's favorite service
brewery.
Yes,
drinking
one right now.
Nicole's favorite.
Cheers, Nicole. Cool. All right, man. Well, thanks for joining us, Matt. Congratulations on your PR. You weren't walking too incredibly funny on the way up here. You got a little bit of a gait to you, but that's okay. That's totally expected.
I think training went really well, and it really, like, my post-race pain is tolerable. So I think everything went very well today.
Actually, before I dismiss you, I think it might be good to have one more voice or one more attempt to have someone do well on this. It's time to play Keith's Spreadsheet.
We're going back in time. Keith's Spreadsheet. Let's do this.
All right, Keith's Spreadsheet is where I read a review from Keith's epic spreadsheet of beers. You guys know Keith as the cellarman here at Service Brewing, but what you may not know is that he has a spreadsheet with 3,980 beer reviews on it and counting. That was fresh as of today. You may have reviewed this beer already. I don't know.
Not yet.
Okay, 3,980 beer reviews. I'm going to read one of those reviews, and we're going to see if Raymond and or Matt can guess which beer it is based on the description. Are you both ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's go.
I'm going to be watching Raymond. You watch Matt, whose ever hand goes up first.
Okay.
It's who we're going to go to. This is going to be a real game this week. All right. You don't see me posting too many reviews of this style. I'm leaving the style out for now. We'll see if it'll be a hint later. It's not because I don't enjoy a good one. I like a lot of wheat beers. They just aren't that exciting to write about. I am thoroughly impressed with this beer, though. Definitely worth writing about. A pretty-looking beer with a perfectly golden color. The aroma is inviting with a lot of sweet, grainy malt. The great malt profile on the taste with a lot of character. Slightly nutty and sweet with some bitter hay. Add a nice, crisp hop bite. And you have a new go-to summer beer for me. 4 out of 5 A.
Whoa. A 4 out of 5 for a wit beer from Keith. Because he and I have had conversations about
not
wit
a
beers
wit
before.
Beer, but a wheat
beer. Okay, sorry.
May I ask the age of this review?
Whoa.
You wrote wheat. Is that wrong? Now that you know.
It's not a wheat beer, so.
Well, there's wheat in the malt bill.
No,
there's not.
No.
Okay, this is in the review.
This must be a typo.
All right, typo. Take the wheat part out. So it is a light, crisp, summer, refreshing beer, but apparently not wheat. There's more information about this that we had than the original writing. So I would say this review would have been like 3-4 years ago?
3 or 4 years ago.
I mean, this was a while ago. Yeah, it was more than 3 years ago.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that this is not Gun Bunny by Service Brewing.
Gun Bunny.
That would not be fair.
Right.
Wow. Let's see. Summer beer. Keith's even like reviewing his notes over here, and it's like going to the judges panel over here to what's actually the review. That's not fair.
So the phrasing is, but I like a lot of wheat beers. Not this is a wheat beer.
Right,
I like a good beer of this style, but not a lot of wheat beers.
But like wheat beers, there's some commas in there.
There we go. Yep. Inflection and reading style.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right, I think I'm going to have to go for a hint on this one. This is,
We'll do style. What's that?
Yeah, a little
more. We'll do style. I'll read it again, including the style. You don't see me posting many reviews of Pilsners. It's not because I don't enjoy a good Pilsner, but like a lot of wheat beers, this does make more sense when I add the style name. They just aren't that exciting.
Raymond's got his hand up.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Oscar Blues's Yellow pills?
No, that's incorrect. But like a lot of wheat beers, pilsners aren't that exciting to write about. You can still buzz back in. You can still win this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So 3 years, I'm going to go with the Three Taverns, Prince of Pilsen.
Oh, Prince of Pilsen.
That's a good guess. That's a very good beer,
nice
too.
We are currently at Service Brewing Company.
Okay, so the brewery then would be Service, and the Pilsner would be...
It's right there on the board. About a half dozen times.
You only have to look at the board where it says year-round beers.
The rally point.
Matt gets a brew drinker and glass for winning the game tonight. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Add to your collection if you already have one on us.
And I would also like to add that I'm not a huge Pilsner fan, but I'm a big fan of Rally Point.
It's super drinkable. Yeah,
what's actually funny is that when I wrote that, there weren't a lot of Pilsners out there, and now there are.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like people are catching on that these are great everyday, year-round drinking beers. So that's actually inaccurate now. There's a lot of them. So.
That's why I went with Oscar Blues, because that was the only one that I could think of that was three or 4 years old.
I also, once I started working here, stopped writing reviews of these beers just because of the bias on the website. So that might have tricked you a little bit.
Yeah. I had to try to play it cool. Matt, thanks a lot for joining us. Congrats on your PR.
Yeah, congrats on your PR.
Congratulations.
Marathon qualifying, maybe.
Woo!
We'll see. Find out in September.
Yeah. We'll have you back when you do Boston.
All right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's time for us to start wrapping up. We have done 200 numbered episodes of the Brew Drink Run podcast. Technically 206 when you count in all our weird special episodes, our unedited interviews with like Sam Calgione or other kind of special non-numbered podcasts. Altogether, that's almost 7 gigabytes of highly compressed MP3s.
Mm.
It is, if you were to listen to them consecutively, like a guy did recently and reviewed us on iTunes, if you listen to them consecutively, it would be over 13 days of audio.
Wow.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time.
It's an unlucky number.
God, when do I get that back? When do I get this time back?
I spent it with you and I don't regret it. We released our first episode on July 26th of 2002. So that's been 2,057 days between when that came out and when this episode came out.
2002?
2012.
12.
That is more than 5.5 years
of
podcast episodes. Thanks, Alan.
Hey, Alan.
That's really sweet.
There's the one guy that listens.
I think his wife listens more than he does, honestly, but I'll take it. And so anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys I've enjoyed it. That's good.
It's been so much fun.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do it again sometime.
Maybe. We'll see.
For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Brew Drink Run. Plus, we're all on Untappd. If you want to be a part of the show, you can email us. That's team@brewdrinkrun.com. Also, I want to give a quick shout-out to our guy, Mike Sankey, from across the pond. Mike was nice to send us a little Instagram, happy 200 today, wish he could be here deal. So thanks a lot to Mike for sending us that. Let us know about your home brewing, please. Your running training, that'd be great, too. Or your favorite place to grab a beer. You can also just call us at 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465. We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts and those awesome running technical shirts that you heard Alan talk about. Over on our website, just go to brewdrinkrun.com and click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you on the other side. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks, Kevin.
Hey, we did it.
We're finally 200.
Well, and more than one person is going to listen to this episode because they were here.
That's true. We can actually prove that more than one person has listened to it because, well, I don't know. I don't know if they were listening. They were in the area.
And there's a lot of people who didn't want to.
And this is the part where we just keep talking after the music is over. So we just had to
this is the best part of the podcast, right?
Usually. Yeah.
Nobody makes it this far.
I mean, once you have a couple of beers.